Well, Taylor, would you join me up here? Kind of do this as an interview format this morning, so it won't take too long, but I do have a surprise for you that I haven't told you about. You got kind of this privilege as being, you know, dad and pastor, I guess, at the same time. But Kari, do you have that 30-second clock that we can put on the back? All right, I'm going to ask you 10 questions, and you have 30 seconds to answer them. In the best that you can off the top of your head. Okay?
30 seconds for each question or for everything?
30 seconds for 10 questions. Ready for that?
I can give one-word answers. I don't think people will learn much, though.
All right. Here we go. Okay. Starting. 1, 2, 3. What is the national symbol of Australia?
Kangaroo.
Okay. What was your favorite food over in Australia?
Sushi.
Okay. How many people did you live with in the same room?
I mean, altogether, I lived with probably 15 people over the course of the time there.
But in one room at one time?
Five.
Awesome.
Other people.
Okay. Wow, we only got 3 done. Wow. Okay, well, we tried our best anyways. But how did God make the biggest impact upon you while you were in Australia?
I mean, I don't know. I think in, like, every way, really, because I learned so much there. I learned pretty much everything that I know. I don't know everything, but everything that I know about God, I pretty much learned over there. And I learned a lot about identity and the truth of identity and what that means, what identity is, you know, just all that kind of stuff. So,
can you give us a synopsis of what identity has meant, what you've discovered about that?
Well, I mean, when I went over there to go back as staff, I just realized that I didn't have any idea who I was, and I didn't have any idea of what identity in general even meant either. And it turns out that the world doesn't really know what it means either when you go and look at definitions in the dictionary and stuff like that. You know, they give vague definitions like who you are. It's like, thanks, but that's the question that I'm trying to answer. and then there's a lot of definitions that say it's what people think about you or it's what you think about yourself. But that's a really dangerous definition to have because what we think about ourselves and what we think about others is changing all the time, and a lot of the time it's not good thoughts. So I went back into the etymology of the word and where the word originally came from, where it originally formed, and it means together with, as one, which, you know, means that identity obviously isn't as isolated as we make it out to be. And if we as humans are always constantly changing, you know, and we're not stable a lot of the time, but identity, you know, if there's one thing that we just instinctually know about identity is that it must be stable and unchanging, because that's why it's so important for us, that's why we're looking for it, that other person that our identity is together with must be constant and unchanging, and that's God. He's the only one that fits that bill. And so identity is about whose we are, because then once we know whose we are, we can learn what he says about us, because it's what he says about us, it's his thoughts that matter. And a lot of the time, the world, you know, will tell us, or, you know, say things about God or what God thinks about us that aren't necessarily true. So I think it's something that we have to, you know, find for ourselves and go on that journey with God for ourselves as well. And that was something that I had the privilege of being able to do while I was over there and learn.
Hmm. So, awesome.
Was that 30 seconds?
That was good. So, so what was the biggest stretching moment then?
I mean, that's what I learned during the biggest stretching moment, because the biggest stretching moment was just going through a lot of physical health problems, because my body doesn't seem to like community living, or living with one other person in the room, let alone 5 other people in the room. And so, yeah, I just reached a point of complete exhaustion and burnout, and, you know, that affects a lot of other stuff as well. That affects your, you know, you get depression and all that kind of stuff. And so that was just a really, stretching time for me, I think, because it lasted for about a year where I just wasn't able to get any sleep or any rest or energy and was feeling, you know, those things. But during that time, that's when I learned about identity, and I also learned a lot about grace just by how the people on the base, my boss and stuff like that, treated me and just gave me a lot of grace during that time as well so that I could rest and recover from that.
Awesome. What did you enjoy the most?
I don't know. I don't know what I enjoyed the most. Probably just the people, the community. It was the, you know, thing I enjoyed the most and the thing that annoyed me the most sometimes, too. But, yeah.
So what was one of the things that God led you down to do that you thought, I would never have done this before?
Missions.
So what about the whole missions idea, being in YWAM, being in Australia, what about that missions idea that was like, I would never do this?
I mean, as a kid, I grew up just thinking that it meant, like, living in mud huts and trying to talk to people that don't understand you and stuff like that. And I think what I came to learn over there is that, you know, we call it missions, but really what it should be is just living. And it should just be living, and living, you know, as an accurate example of God and his love for others, and actively living that out, and just, you know, seeking to love others. And it doesn't mean third world countries at all, like Australia is a first world country, Canada is a first world country, but the people in all those countries are the same. They have the same identity as I do as well.
How did God meet you specifically? Was there some kind of experience that you had that you could not give credit to anybody else except for God?
I mean, there was a lot. I think it's, you know, a lot of it happened on the first time that I was over there as well, when I was over there for the discipleship training for the first 6 months. But just, you know, the fact of hearing God, you know, speak to me, not necessarily hearing it, but, you know, people... He speaks to people in different ways, and whether it's kind of just seeing pictures in your mind or just instinctually knowing things, or whether it is physically hearing or anything like that. But, yeah, just recognizing that, you know, God does speak to us, and he does want to speak to us, and, you know, he has been, even if I wasn't recognizing it. And so just those times where, yeah, I was able to hear him speaking and just, or, you know, see pictures in my mind and just know that it wasn't me, that it actually was God. And He cares about all of us and loves all of us. So just learning the truth about that as well.
If there was one thing that you could share with the church about your whole experience that you would want us to remember that you learned, what would that be?
I don't know. I think it's just, you know, to not be worried about rules or religion or man-made tradition, but to just really, you know, dig, you know, deep for yourself. And what does God say? What does his word say? What is he wanting us to do? How is he wanting us to live? And I think one of the big things, you know, is, yeah, it's showing love, and it's showing love to every single person. And I think, you know, a big way that we do that is by walking out, you know, in humility rather than pride, and in, you know, grace rather than judgment or any of that kind of stuff. And, yeah, just actively, you know, pursuing that relationship with him and that love for others as well.
So if there is a challenge for you that you're going to face now that you're at home, what would that be so that people can pray for you?
I don't, like, a lot. you know, because it's kind of, it almost feels like, you know, you're starting over, because you come back and you're like, okay, what do I do, you know, now for the rest of my life? How do I proceed? And so I, a big part of that for me is just, yeah, finding out what's next in regards to, you know, even where am I going to live? What job am I going to get to pay the bills in the meantime, you know? What do I want to invest in or pursue in to be able to, you know, obviously financially survive, but also make a difference and an impact in, you know, sharing God with others and in loving others as well.
Mm-hmm. So kind of what's your future look like? What are your... I know she had said to us when she was talking with Lynette, she said, you know what, I used to have a plan, but God took care of that. Now I don't know what I'm doing. Kind of what to this point do you see as being your future?
I mean, I don't know. whatever God wants, I guess. But I think, yeah, I don't think that I went through that whole year and learned what I did about identity for no reason. And so I think that's whatever I end up doing, that's something to pursue. It's just helping other people, you know, come to that place of understanding of identity and, and just being there for people to, you know, if they have questions or stuff like that or need comfort or, you know, care. And so I don't know if this is where I'll go at the moment, but, you know, social work, possibly going back to school to get a diploma in social work to work in the foster system or juvie center or, you know, on the reserves or in youth groups or schools, that kind of thing.
And that's been funneled because of the people that you met and the people that you served in Australia?
Yeah, that as well, and just, you know, seeing, you know, the, even in Fortitude Valley, like where we went down, and, you know, people go down there looking for something because they're looking for something more, they just don't necessarily know what they're looking for, and when we were able to go down there and really just show love and listen and care, you know, that people, you know, would get caught off guard by that, and they're like, why do you actually care about me or my life? Why are you not judging me, you know, kind of thing? Why are you actually caring about me? And that opens up, you know, doorways to be able to, I guess, help them kind of understand our perspective and where we're coming from and give them the option if they want to go deeper in that.
And just so those that may not know, Fortitude Valley was...
Yeah, Fortitude Valley was the place in Brisbane where, like, all the bars and strip clubs were, where all the drugs and partying and that kind of stuff is as well. And so I would go down there a lot for my first while on Friday nights and Saturday nights from, like, 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. And just go down there and chat with people, hang out, you know, help people that are maybe overdosed or passed out or are in dangerous situations and need, you know, someone there to keep them safe, to help them find a ride home, that kind of thing, and made connections, you know, with bouncers, and they have chaplains down there, which are like paramedics. They're Christian volunteer paramedics that also help out down there. So that was a big part of my first little while down there until I, you know, got the exhaustion phase going, and then I still kept in contact with them, but I didn't go down anymore for those nights. But I helped train up other people that could keep going down there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Taylor, we want to say thank you for keeping us well informed. I'm sure there's not anybody in here would say that they did not enjoy receiving your newsletters. The newsletters were amazing. They kept us informed. We felt like we were on a journey with you. And, you know, we just want to be an encouragement to you as a church. We have seen you grow. Mom and Dad, Pastor, we've seen you grow. And we just want to keep on encouraging you to keep on growing, pursuing what God has for you. I'm going to ask Pat if you wouldn't mind coming and praying for Taylor. And I know you love to do that.
You know, that's really interesting because God was talking to me about praying for Taylor when she was sitting here talking to us. Thanks for asking. Heavenly Father, you are such a great God. You break us, Lord. You bring us to tears. You show us our need for you. And Lord, I am so thankful that Taylor had this opportunity to find out who she really is in you. We are all so blessed to hear what she had to say today. We're all on the same search, and it's never over. You give us gifts to bless others, and you give others gifts to bless us. And Lord, I just pray that this beautiful young woman will find the very place that you have for her. She is dedicating her life to you. And I just pray that you will bless her and keep her, that your face will shine upon her, that you will be gracious unto her, that you will give her a deep understanding of your love for her and the place that you have for her, the plan that you have for her. She is steadfast, Lord. She is committed. So I just ask you to keep her in every way. And it's such an honor to have her here. I know that everybody is just so moved by this testimony. And we just want to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.